Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
Introduce myself for anybody who doesn't know who I am. My name is Helen Mills. I've been a member of Exchange for 10 years now. I think it's really just Robert and I are probably the longest standing members here this morning. And so this has been an amazing church for me, and the fellowship for me, coming to understand more and more about the love of God and getting to know folk over the years. And so it's just really good to have you here. As I say, my name is Helen Mills, and Andrew asked me to speak this morning about faith. So I thought, oh Lord, what am I going to talk about? And faith. So I thought actually what I'd do is talk about work, because I didn't think anything. I know I'm only joking. So I was praying, and I journal, and I was looking through my journal, and I said, Lord, what is it that you want me to share with folk this morning? And he just led me again to the Psalms, which is where I really find so much encouragement, like I'm sure a lot of you do as well. And I've been really blessed recently by, I was introduced, it was really Gillian Jordan, who's not here this morning, their way on holidays. God bless them. May the sun ever shine upon them. And she introduced me to the Passion Translation, and it has really brought a fresh revelation, really, of the Psalms to me. And so our reading this morning, it'll pop up on the screen, is from Psalm 25, and as I say, it's in the Passion Translation, verses 1 to 10. Forever I will lift up my soul into your presence, Lord. Be there for me, God, for I keep trusting in you. Don't allow my foes to gloat over me or the shame of defeat to overtake me. For how could anyone be disgraced when they've entwined their heart with yours? But they will all be defeated and ashamed when they harm the innocent. Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me. For you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. Forgive my failures as a young man and overlook the sins of my immaturity. Give me grace, Lord. Always look at me through your eyes of love, your forgiving eyes of mercy and compassion. When you think of me, see me as one you love and care for. How good you are to me. When someone turns to you, they discover how easy you are to please, so faithful and true. Joyfully, you teach them the proper path, even when they go astray. Keep showing the humble your path and lead them into the best decision. Bring revelation light that trains them in the truth. May they obey you and follow you in the pleasant paths of love and faithfulness, for your love surrounds them as your truth takes them forward. For all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who follow the ways of his covenant. That's come out slightly differently from what I'm reading from my translation. Sorry about that. So, Psalm 25. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, I wonder how many of you played Blind Man's Buff or Pin the Tail on the Donkey when you were a child. The whole point, or even now, play it with your kids at kids' parties. And the whole point of the game is to confuse and bewilder us. We're spun around until we're dizzy, and then we head off in what we think is the right direction while everyone else is shouting us instructions, which is obviously meant to confuse us. And we get totally disoriented, and it's only when the blindfold comes off that we realize we're headed and have been heading in the wrong direction. And if we've even managed to pin that tail anywhere close to where it's supposed to be, then it's more by luck than good judgment. I think for many Christians, they feel that trying to battle their way to the truth of the gospel has often been like that game. We feel confused and disoriented. We want to do the right thing, but we end up disillusioned and unhappy and thinking that all the time that God is disappointed in us, that the secret of life is being hidden from us, that the secret of happiness and finding the way forward is being taken away from us, is being stolen from us, and that we're constantly in a state of confusion. And subsequently and consequently, we feel that we're failures. We feel that we've missed something. And we feel that, you know, it's that elusive something out there somewhere that we just haven't quite managed to grasp. And so we're constantly reading another book, listening to another talk, talking to somebody else and trying to find it is, oh dear, find what it is that is eluding us. You'll all have heard the expression blind faith. And often as Christians, that people say that, people who aren't believers say that to disparage us, to say, you it's blind faith. You don't even get it. You're just wandering around accepting everything that you hear unquestioningly, unthinkingly, and do you know what? You're fools. And that you actually, you know, people sort of give you that impression that you believe in something so ridiculous and so unbelievable that you've actually left your brain at the door. But the truth is that we exercise faith every moment of every day. Now, you were offered, and I'm sure most of you took a cup of tea or coffee whenever you arrived this morning into the coffee lounge. Now, whenever you were given that cup, you didn't submit that cup of tea or coffee to a chemical analysis to be absolutely sure that that was tea or coffee. Now, we've all been offered tea or coffee, and we're never quite sure whether it was tea or coffee, or maybe a combination of the two. Okay? Not here, I hasten to add. We have very good coffee and very good tea here. But, you know, you didn't submit it to some kind of forensic analysis before you added the milk and took a sip. Because you had the faith to believe that Gillian and John weren't preparing you a cup of poison or some kind of weird concoction. So you exercised faith because you had met the creators of that tea and coffee and you believed that they were creating something that you could drink. When I got into my car this morning, my lovely new car this morning, just have to say that, love my car. Anyway, I made a number of right and left turns to get here. And when I turned the steering wheel in that direction, I had the faith to believe that those nice men and women in Honda, when they were building, or the robots probably, that built the car, made it so that when I turned the wheel that way, the car went the same direction as the steering wheel. Because I had faith to believe that the people that, and the robots that made that car knew what they were doing. Oh, sorry. Now, I could go on. The people, you went and sat down in that chair. Now, you didn't necessarily think, oh, not sure that chair's going to hold me. You just sat in the chair. So we exercise faith all the time. All the time. Because why did I trust that those things would happen? Why did I trust that when Gillian offered me a cup of tea this morning, it was going to be tea? Why did I trust when I got in the car and turned the wheel that way that it was going to take me in the right direction? Why did I trust when I sat down in that chair? Because I had faith. And because I had a justifiable, proven faith in the Creator. Proven, tested, justifiable. It's not complicated, but it's not blind either. And one of the reasons that we come to church and we read the word and we meet in life groups and we encourage one another, and one of the main reason why I asked folk if they wanted to come and testify this morning is because it points us in the direction of the Creator. By reading the word, we hear stories. We see how God has worked down through the millennia. When we have people come and share what God is doing in their lives, it encourages us. It speaks spirit to spirit and reminds us why we believe, what we believe in, and that we have a justifiable, proven, tested faith. Because we're not on our own. We're not living this life on our own. We're not moving forward on our own because we have the Father with us every step of the way. and we have our brothers and sisters to encourage us and cheer us on. So the reading today from Psalm 25, I just want to draw out a few thoughts this morning. I'm not going to keep you a long time this morning, okay? I just really want to encourage you and bless you. And I want us to encourage and bless each other later on. I want us just to take a few moments to just build each other up. Because over the summertime, sometimes we can get a little bit discouraged because we don't necessarily meet in our life groups. We don't necessarily see our friends from church as much as we normally do. And sometimes we can feel a little bit alone, and we can feel like we're kind of plowing this furrow by ourselves. And you start to think, what is this actually all about? Am I missing something here? And so this morning, I just really want to bless you and encourage you and spur you on. So if we go back to verses 4 and 5 in our reading this morning, it says, Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for your life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. The next slide, quickly. Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me. For you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. So the first word that jumped out at me was direct. Direct me throughout my journey. Now, I can read a map. And some of us old people in the congregation this morning can read maps, okay? Because we didn't have sat-navs in the olden days. And I remember I did my Duke of Edinburgh, and one of the things I did in the Duke of Edinburgh is you had to learn how to use that, like the Silva compass. So you had to set it on the Ordnance Survey map, and that was all part of the expedition preparing for that. So when I did my Silva expedition, I'd been training and whatever, and we went up on the Antrim Plateau. Has anybody ever been up on top of the Antrim Plateau? Well, the clue's in the name, Plateau, so it's dead flat. Right? So you get up, so literally it's like it's that volcanic thing, so it just raises out of the ground and then it's flat on the top. And then the mist came down, got completely lost. Completely lost. Out of time, had to come and be got by the leaders. It's really humiliating. And so nowadays, I still like maps, but when I want to get anywhere these days, there's a nice lady on my phone who tells me where to go. And she makes me laugh when she tries to pronounce things like a hochel and Craiga and Lisnabrini. You know, that's always very funny when you hear that kind of strange, you know, Craiga and a hog hill. And but you get there in the end. But the funny thing about sat-navs, I don't know if you've noticed, they often take you the shortest way, but it's not always the best way. And they take you through these strange B roads that you never really needed to go. And then suddenly you arrive at this lovely, big, wide A road. And you think, why didn't it take me that way? Because it took me the shortest way. And sometimes in life, the shortest way is not always the best way. Sometimes the shortest way and the shortcuts don't give us an opportunity to really experience what God is wanting to do. And we want to get from A to B. I often think about that, you know, with, I'm not a big fan of these talent shows, you know, Britain's Got Talent and what's the other one? Thank you, X Factor. I'm not terribly keen on those shows because part of it is people wanting to get a shortcut to fame. It's like so many of these reality shows nowadays. It's about getting a shortcut to fame. But the sad thing, the shortcut to fame can sometimes be the shortcut to unhappiness, loneliness, disappointment. Because what's it based on? It's based on a snapshot of somebody's life. And if somebody took a snapshot of our lives, it wouldn't necessarily be the best thing that they wanted to see. But the great thing about God is that he sees the end from the beginning. And it says in the Word, you know, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. You've got to read the whole verse. Because every single person, I can guarantee every single person in this place has had a disappointing life in some way, not a disappointing life, a disappointment in their lives. Or something that they wish they could do over so they could do it better. Or a relationship that they wish they could go back now and fix. But the reality is, God sees the end from the beginning. And he sees that whole journey. And it hasn't always been the shortest journey. And the great thing about God is he always gives you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance and a sixth chance. He gives you as many chances as you need to do things over. But to do things over with him directing you and leading you. We need a compass that's set right. It's calibrated by the person who makes the compass. That Father God will set us in the right direction. Because sometimes we set out and we say, right, this is how I want my life to look. And people out there, and sometimes they do that. They're very ambitious, they're very focused, and they say, right, this is where I'm going to get. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. Or I'm going to get that job. Or I'm going to get married and I'm going to have X number of kids before a certain age. Now, none of those things in and of themselves are bad or evil or wicked or whatever. None of those things are wrong in and of themselves. But if the compass isn't set right to get to that destination, there's going to be a lot of disappointment along the way, unnecessarily so, because the shortest way is not always the best way. So the first thing we want to do is to let the Lord direct our journey. And even today, if you think to yourself, I'm a bit off kilter, I feel like my life is not on the track that I want it to be, God's just saying, let me direct your journey. Let recalibrate. Do you know the way it says on the sat nav? It says, you've just got to, what is it that it says? To get back, recalculate. So you just press recalculate. Although it usually says, do a U-turn. You're going the wrong way. And, at the earliest opportunity, do a U-turn. Well, do you know what? At the earliest opportunity in your lives, do a U-turn. Is that today? Take that right turn instead of that left turn. Don't get overly worried that you're going to take the wrong direction, because you're asking the Lord to direct your journey, and you will know that peace in your heart. Because the next verse says, reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. So we've said, Lord, direct our journey. And then we're saying, Lord, reveal to me the life path that you want me to take. There's not any young people in church this morning. But, I remember when I was like a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, and really wanting to seek the Lord's will for my life. He opened up an opportunity for me to get involved. Some of you may have seen when I spoke a couple of months ago, to something called the Youth Evangelism Team in the Methodist Church. And that was such a foundation, just pushing me out there, leading people to the Lord, opening up my life to whatever you want me to do, Jesus. You just show me the path that you want me to go. And I had I was quite ambitious as a young person. And I said, right, Lord, this is what I want to do with my life. And it didn't work out anything like I expected it to. But ultimately, it's been better. And, some days I do wake up and I think, how did I get to be 25, how did I get to be nearly 57 years old? How did I get to be the age where I can actually see that bus pass? It's almost within my grasp. How can that even be, right? And, I'm sure there's a few of us feel like that. It's like, how could that even be? I'm kind of coming to the end of my working career. I'm not at the beginning anymore. I still think I'm only started. But the great thing is that step by step by step, God reveals. And when I look back in my life and I see you know, sometimes I tried to take a shortcut and it really didn't work. And I ended up, you know, maybe it took me a few years to get right back to where God wanted me to be. And I really feel that God led me to exchange, and the message of the love of God has really radically altered how I view my whole life. And God just wants to reveal himself to you. God is not in the business of hiding from his children. He wants to reveal himself to you. You know, you'll have heard from this platform so many times that finding God's will is not hard. We can fret and fuss about it, but the reality is that God has promised to be with you. And it says in Proverbs 3, that really, really famous verse that we often quote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." But the key thing is trusting, not leaning on our own understanding, submitting to him, and he will make our path straight. So he's directing us. He's revealing himself to us. Sometimes we need to be patient. All throughout the Bible, we see from the patriarchs onwards, Abraham and Sarah, Joseph, Elijah, time and time again, the Bible reminds us that we have to trust God to reveal things in his time, at his pace, and in his way. And he does. Patience, I would have said, I wasn't a particularly patient person, but over the years I have become much more patient. And, you know, it's that joke, you know, "Lord, make me patient and do it now!" That's not the way it works. You know, like faith growers are those people, you know, that really grow your faith. And I remember a number of years ago, I wasn't very well, and I'd problems with my vision. And they admitted me to the eye hospital in the Royal. And, you know, I was lying in the bed and I couldn't read and I couldn't watch TV. And the only thing I could do was kind of listen to worship music, listen to the radio. That was really all I could do. And, you know, it was amazing though, just, and I was in a side ward. So it wasn't even, like I only didn't really see the staff. I wasn't critically ill, so I didn't really see the staff all that often. So I had a lot of time on my own. And because I was in the Royal, nobody came to visit me, because the truth is, if you live in East Belfast and you go into the Royal, you might as well have been hospitalised in Australia, because, you know, people don't really go east to west. Do you know that in Belfast? You know that? It's like, oh, where would I get parked? Well, you could park in the car park, maybe. I don't know. And but, you know, if you're in the Ulster, great, because you're inundated with visitors, but if you're in the Royal, you're kind of on your own. And but it was good. It was good. Because as I lay on that bed for over a week, just bathing in the presence of God, I just felt God beside me all the time. And I learnt patience, because I just felt I was waiting to receive the presence of God. And it was a really precious time, a really precious time of just sensing his presence and knowing that he was with me, as he revealed himself to me. So do you see those times in your life when you think, this is really, I want to move through this and out the other side? You know, just seeing that gorgeous wee one here this morning, it just reminds me of whenever my son was little. And you kind of wanted to rush through that baby stage because you wanted to sleep and you wanted to, you know, you just wanted to get your life back. But now I look back at that time and I think, oh, I miss that baby stage. And you kind of want to rush through things. So it's like just living in the moment and letting God reveal himself to you in the moment to take you through that to what he wants to bring you into next. Then it says, escort me along the way. We are never alone. Even when we feel alone, we are never alone. God never abandons us to our own devices. God never practices tough love. God never says to us, you're on your own. You've messed up. I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. God never says that. Never. And we're so grateful for that, because how many times have we messed up? How many times have we taken that wrong pathway? And God says, I never left you, not once. Sorry, that's my earring. I just realized that's my earrings making that noise. He never abandons us to our own devices. He's always there with us every step of the way. There, that's better. Just they were kind of pretty, and I wanted to wear them because they were pretty. And now, I don't need to be exercising any kind of prophetic gift to know that every single person in this room or who is watching this has felt nervous when they entered a room full of strangers. I don't need some kind of like insight for that, because that's just the way we are made. You ask those questions as you walk into the room. Will they like me? Will I fit in? Who shall I talk to? Does my bum look big in this? Just for effect there. And it's so large, it makes that microphone go off. And then sometimes, you know, we spot somebody that we maybe vaguely know, or, you know, we think, oh, they look like somebody I could talk to, and we make a beeline, and we kind of get a wee bit of conversation going, or we're standing there nervously with, you know, like a drink in our hand, or, you know, we're wondering where we're going to sit, and we have somebody smiles, and we think, right, okay, I can make a connection here. And then we can start to maybe, you know, strike up a bit of a conversation. And in our lives, we're constantly going into new situations, aren't we? We're constantly meeting new things. And we have to remind ourselves that God always escorts us along the way. So if there's something new that you're stepping into at the minute, you're not alone. Be it a new job, be it a phone call that you know you have to make to somebody, be it a letter that you have to write, be it a challenge that you're about to face, small or big, you're not alone. God is escorting you along the way. And I love the idea of an escort. Makes me think of, you know, some sort of handsome prince coming and picking you up from the house in his nice car. A Maserati. I'm kind of into Maseratis at the minute. That's what I'm believing for. And I was driving behind one the other day. It was a lovely midnight blue one. And I'm just saying, Lord, that's my next car. I look nice. And, you know, so you're something about being escorted is that sense of being nurtured and cared for, of being loved, of having that arm put around you and saying, you don't need to worry. Somebody just putting their hand at your back and saying, I'm right there. It's not a grasping thing. It's not a somebody holding on to you and grabbing you by the arm and you going, ooh. It's not that kind of, you know, prison officer escorting somebody from the dock. That's not the kind of image we're going for this morning. It's that gentle, caring, just keeping a little eye out for you. You know, that person who goes and gets you a drink, finds you a seat to sit down, makes sure that everything is there that you need in a quiet, unobtrusive way. That's how I see Heavenly Father. That's how I see my daddy this morning, just escorting me along the way. And whatever situation you're moving into at the minute, that's what God wants to be for you. He wants to be your escort, to just be beside you, to walk alongside you along the way. And finally, take me by the hand. Now, I think holding hands is awesome. Now, I haven't held anybody's hand for a very long time, but, you know, one of the things I love, there was this couple that I live in the street that I grew up in, and there's a lot of the older people, my parents' ages, who, you know, knew me when I was a little girl, and I've seen them grow up. And there was one couple, now very sadly, he passed away last year. But all their lives as a couple, they always held hands. You never saw one without the other. Never saw one without the other. And they were always very affectionate. They always held hands. They were always together. And that always blessed me every time I saw it. Because I thought, there is a couple who are just still in love. You didn't get that feeling of, oh, they did it out of duty. They did it because they'd always done it, and it was a beautiful thing to see. And it just reminded you that romance isn't just for the young. Preach it. And whatever you're facing, be it mundane or special, having a hand to hold always reminds you that there's someone on your side. Now, one of the things I miss about having a grown-up son is no more child to hold my hand. Now, I've told you before, another job that I do is I work as an engagement leader with Conswater Community Greenway. And one of the things I help out as part of that role is with a little wildlife club called Bloomfield Wildlife Watch. And they're a lovely group of kids, Key Stage 2, that's P4 to P7. And they're really great kids, and we always do something fun every month. And in September, October, we go bat watching, which is really cool. And we have bat detectors. And a bat detector is a small box, and it sets a frequency because, and just this is a wee bit boring, but nerdy, but this is a piece you'll be able to use this in a pub quiz later on. Every bat has a different frequency, a different sound. They oscillate in a different way. The sound oscillates in a different way. So the bat detector set it to the correct oscillation, and then you'll suddenly hear the and that'll be that particular kind of bat, okay? And it means so we're pointing these bat detectors into the trees. And it was dark, obviously, and suddenly out of the dark, this big dog emerges. And one of the girls, I just felt this little hand slip into mine. Oh, I don't like big dogs, Helen. And then another hand slips into my other hand. And I was like, I'm loving this. And they just held my hand very gently, very quietly, and it made them feel safe. Because here was a grown-up who was going to look after them and make sure everything was okay, and they didn't have to be. And I was just able to say, it's okay, he's on a lead, he's fine, don't be worrying, I've got you. They trusted me to keep them safe. And that's a special feeling. It's a lovely feeling for the person who's in charge. But it's a lovely feeling for the person who's trusting. And look at that from God's point of view. He loves us to trust him. He wants us to put our hand into his. And he loves that. But the great thing is, we then feel safe because we're holding God's hand. We've got the assurance that everything's going to be okay. But God loves to give us that assurance as well. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to take his hand. And finally, I have wrapped my heart into yours. I love the way the translator has taken that image. I have wrapped my heart into yours. So when we wrap our heart into the Father's heart, you can't tell one from the other. Everything's just intermingled, intertwined. We have got God's heart and God has our heart, and we are together wrapped into him. Now, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Because we know in whom we have faith. And we know that whatever we're afraid of, he's there before us. And we're wrapped into him. It's the understanding that he who loves us is completely to be trusted. We can wrap ourselves in Jesus by the power of the Spirit and have complete and total confidence that we will never be disappointed in him, and he will never be disappointed in us.